Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, this is the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history. In remembrance of the fallen, I would ask you to please do the following. Flash your headlights if you're on the road and can't pull over. We're going to play another memorial song before we get into the discussion of this, who was responsible, why the Democrats silent on this issue, who should be fired, and my opinion of who is responsible for this. Before we do it, I'm going to play something else. And again, if you're in a moving car, flash your headlights in honor of those slaughtered because of multiculturalism at Fort Hood. Play it, please. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the Savage Nation for the day after the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history. And I am doing what the U.S. Congress should be doing. I'm embarrassed to tell you that I live in the United States of America with Barack Hussein Obama as president. I'm ashamed to tell you that we have people like Nancy Pelosi in Congress. I'm ashamed to tell you that we have a Congress that does not close down for business as usual after the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history. And I will tell you this, that the Democrats will lose the military vote over this slap in the face, over the disrespect that they have been showing ever since this happened. Yesterday, Obama went on for 2 minutes talking about Indians and Indian casinos and Indian money before he got around to mentioning, as sort of as a side note, about the mass murder at Fort Hood. Either these people are disconnected from reality or there's something far worse afoot. We'll put that aside and pray to God that there are historians in the future who can even analyze what has happened to this country that we have a Congress that is so corrupt, so inept, so out of touch with reality that the day after the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history, this disgraceful Congress today votes on a resolution to congratulate the New York Yankees. I'm not making this up. This is what they took up today in clip 23. This is your Congress at work. Listen.
House Resolution 893, resolution congratulating the 2009 Major League Baseball World Series champions, the New York Yankees.
Question is, would the House suspend the rules and agree to the resolution? Members are recorded their votes by electronic
device. All right, shut up. Shut up, you useless. You useless nobodies. Are they drugged? Do we have a Congress of drugged old people or what? Something's wrong. Here's a man who shouts Allahu Akbar, comes in full religious garb, in white cloak, white hat, screams out something that you hear associated with jihad, and we're told it has nothing to do with his religion. Well, I'll read about the Trojan horse in a little while on the Savage Nation. But I have a few questions for you, questions that any rational person would ask the day after the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history. Which government agency do you believe failed the troops? Who should be fired? Why was there no armed MP to stop Hassan at the entrance of this auditorium or this hall? When were the soldiers on military bases disarmed? Which president disarmed our troops, Clinton or Bush? Did you hear what I just said to you? Have you ever heard of anything like this in your life? A military base with some of the best soldiers the Army has, but they're not allowed to have guns? The guns are locked away for them? So in the wake of the Fort Hood massacre, questions come to mind unless you work for Obama. Why were MPs not dispatched to the scene of the murder instead of civilian police? Why were there no armed military personnel guarding this group? Do you have an answer to that? Who disarmed our men? I have a staff assistant who works for me, Godric Rockland, who was in the Marines for 5 years, and he's a young man, and he says he's seen photos of American military members from the 50s and 60s guarding barracks with weapons under peaceful auspices. He says with the rise of various post-traumatic stress disorder and such, trust in the average soldier by their superiors to not shoot other soldiers has sort of diminished. He said, as a result, the military has fallen prey to public perceptions. And so here we are. We have soldiers who are sacrificial lambs to political correctness. Which government agency do you blame for the shooting at Fort Hood? Oh, there's a lot of blame to go around. The FBI apparently was following this character for 6 months. Here is a man, a major in the military, who said things against the military, against the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. He tried to proselytize patients while at Walter Reed to the Muslim faith. Any one of these events should have had him thrown out of the military. I didn't say arrest him. He should have been dismissed from the military, but he had not been dismissed, number one. And number two, the FBI is watching the man? What do you mean they're watching him for 6 months? They waited for the body bags? It turns out that Sergeant Kimberly Munley was the one who took down Hassan, hitting him four times. A woman police officer. Why not an MP? Who gave you the worst coverage of this story to date? I mean, I watched it all last night. I had to stop. I had to turn it off. I'm going to give you my report in a moment. And amazingly, as I was watching CNN last night, Anderson Cooper actually had the best coverage. He outstripped Fox News, which has become an embarrassment. Anderson Cooper had the video of Hassan getting coffee at a convenience store, dressed up in full Middle Eastern religious garb, white cloak, white hat. It's on michaelsavage.com. He may have been biased, Anderson Cooper, but at least he wasn't afraid to show America the face of the enemy. Why do you think the liberal media completely dropped the Fort Hood story immediately when the Orlando shooting occurred today? Why haven't the cable news networks managed to get a TV interview with the imam of Hassan's mosque? Why was there no armed MP to stop Hassan at the entrance of the base? When were the soldiers on military bases disarmed and by whom? Was it Bush or Clinton? Some other observations on the Savage Nation. The Democrats are going to lose the majority of the military vote over this disrespect. I'll say it again. Congress should have called a day of mourning. They should have closed down for the day. They should have all been wearing black armbands. They should have stopped pushing socialized medicine. In fact, I had a bet last night at my house that they would do this. And the woman who's much smarter than I am said, no, you're wrong. She said, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Obama, there is so much money at stake in this healthcare scam. There are trillions of dollars over 10 years. There is so much money at stake that nothing will stop the bullet train of socialism. Nothing will stop them. I said, well, I don't know if you're right or I'm right, but she was right. The Democrats are going to lose the military vote over this. I'll go the next step. Only a resurgent evangelical Christian movement in America can save this country from descent into obscurity, defeat, and disgrace. Let me repeat that in case you missed it. Write it down. Send it to anyone you want. See if I care. Only a resurgent evangelical Christian movement can save America from this rapid descent into obscurity, defeat, and disgrace. Put that in stone. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Officers, attend. Present arms.
The worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history, and Obama passes it off as a secondary thought. Congress mentions nothing about it. They go on with business as usual. The media tries to cover it up and say he was picked on because he was a Muslim. Anyone who says that we have had the enemy within penetrate the military is immediately condemned by the psychobabblers. And I couldn't believe that even Fox News, I turned it on last night, they had a so-called panel with a guy named Dinesh D'Souza. I don't know who he is. Another one named Bozell, never heard of him. And this used suitcase, Geraldine Ferraro, on a panel. I said, wait a minute, are they kidding? This used suitcase, Geraldine Ferraro, is on Fox News? So this character named D'Souza, who I never heard of, I guess he's a conservative, and this guy Bozell I never heard of, they say nothing. It was like listening to a moron, an imbecile, and an idiot all at once. They said nothing. Listen to this character named D'Souza. I never heard of him in clip 18.
I think the motives of the shooter are very hard to say. I think what we see in an incident
All right, that's
like this
enough
is
already.
The way...
It's enough. You were irrelevant when you were relevant. Now, here's another guy named Bozell. Never heard of him. Clip 19.
It's a strange, strange story today. Two things I think that are going to emerge. One is that all sorts of facts are going to come out of this thing.
Next case. Finished. Imbecile. Now, Geraldine Ferraro, listen to this one.
I agree with your previous panelist, Essie, when she said she was glad he was alive. I am, too, because I think then you'll be able to get to the bottom of what happened on this, or the military will. They'll look at they'll not only talk to him and see where he's coming from, mm-hmm. but they will also then go back and check to see what impact all of these things have had yeah. on him. And look at that with reference to others as well who are performing the same type of service with reference to assisting people who are suffering from post-traumatic stress and all the rest of that
stuff. Here we go already. He's the victim. The murderer, the mass murderer, is the victim. And I would have expected this from Geraldine Ferraro. She was what she is from the beginning. She is what she is from the beginning. But I'm just speechless from it. The Trojan horse has entered the military. And if you don't know the version of the Trojan horse, you're going to get it on the Savage Nation eventually. But here we have the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history, and not one governmental agency is responsible. I haven't heard one word from Janet Napolitano. I've heard nothing from Obama that made sense. I'm asking you who should be fired. Where were the MPs? How did he get an automatic rifle or pistols through the door? Why is Homeland Security silent? Where are the MPs? How did he get in there? I mean, the man is wearing a white robe and a cap, and he screams, Allah Akbar, before he opens up on everybody. And the soldiers are disarmed. They're sitting there like sheep. If you were Al-Qaeda watching this, you'd say, we're very close to the final victory. We have won, my friends. My friends, we have won. The soldiers are crying in America. The soldiers are weeping in America. They couldn't even defend themselves against one of our brave men. Yes, one of their brave men. Yes, I will say it again. One of their brave jihadists. Yes, one of their brave jihadists. He went on a jihad rampage. He was a sleeper who went off. Would I have to read this somewhere to tell you what happened here? The guy was telling them for 6 months he was a jihadist. It was pouring out of him like body odor, like B.O. coming off a stinker. I don't like the military. I don't want to go to Iraq. The war is against Muslims. I'm not going. And then when he's a doctor in wherever in, where was he? Up in Walter Reed. They had to admonish him because he was proselytizing about Islam to patients. You didn't see this yet, did you, in your local paper? You didn't read it yet? Yankees, take me out to the ball game, you stupid idiots. You don't deserve a country. You morons, you. You morons don't deserve a nation. You morons don't deserve a country. We become like Spain after the bombing of the Spanish subways. We're this far away from being Spain. Barack Hussein Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. Oh, yes, and by the way, the thing at Fort Hood. Now, what was that, please? I must rush off now and play night basketball. What was that? Oh, yes. Chief Crazy Horse. He had a salute for a minute and a half. 2 minutes about Chief Crazy Horse. Dig up a few more votes from the teepees. Then I read that this malcontent wanted to get out of the military. He was suing the government. Like all of these deadbeats that go in and get the free education. And then all of a sudden, oh, I have to serve? What are you kidding me? I like the uniform. I like the benefits. I like the shoes. I like the badges. You mean you actually want me to go over to Iraq? Are you crazy? You gave me the medical degree, so I'll sue. I'll get a lawyer from NYU. I'll get a lawyer from Columbia or Harvard to say you tricked me. And then I'll go on a mass murder spree so that all your friends in the media could say it was post-traumatic stress disorder, even though I've never been to Iraq. This is the day after the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history, and Congress votes on a resolution to congratulate the New York Yankees. And Madam Pelosi takes the bullet train approach in pushing the $1 trillion a year socialized medicine program down our throats. They will lose the military vote for this, a good portion of it, to the 90th percentile. But that's not our problem today. Our problem is the nature of the American mind. It has been put to sleep. We have been anesthetized by a government media complex, along with drugs, along with the big lie of multiculturalism, that this has nothing to do with religion. This has nothing to do with jihad. This was not a terrorist act. It's all a lie. Every statement is a lie. This was a terrorist act on our soil. Why is the government, which has trillions of dollars in assets, specifically set up to stop this, saying that this was not a terrorist act? We have with us Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, and I'll tell you more about him in a minute. Lieutenant Colonel West, thanks for joining us on the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Savage, and it's a pleasure and honor to be with you.
Well, it's my honor. I mean, you are the real McCoy with all of your awards, former Fort Hood commander. Served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I'll tell people about what happened to you for doing your job a little too well in a minute. But you say that the tragedy at Fort Hood is proof the enemy is infiltrating our military. Could you elaborate on that, please?
Well, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we have to look at, you know, they teach you in the military to look for indicators and warrants, to start connecting the dots on things. And this goes back to 2003. When we had the Sergeant Hassan of the 101st Airborne Division that threw two grenades into his commanding officer's tent at the base camp in Kuwait at the time when I was there. And you look at the Albanian terrorists who were planning an attack against Fort Dix. You look at this gentleman, Carlos Bledsoe, who was radicalized and shot two U.S. soldiers there at the Little Rock recruiting station. And now you have this incident. And we did foil the North Carolina terrorist ring who was planning to attack the Marine Corps base at Quantico. It is not just that they have infiltrated into our military through this, as you said, the multiculturalism and the diversity programs that have forced the military to bend over backwards to accommodate, Muslim soldiers and people that we really don't know their full background. And now we see how it comes to fruition. And I'm not trying to speak negative against anyone, but what I want us to do is stop with this paralysis due to political correctness. It just upsets me when I'm looking at the news and all they can talk about is that Major Hassan is some type of victim of some virtual vicarious pre-post-traumatic stress disorder. Instead of calling this what it is, it is a jihadist.
Right, attack. I agree. Now, Colonel West had almost 20 years in the military. Just so you know who you're listening to, you're not listening to Larry King. You're not listening to Rush Limbaugh here. You're not listening to anybody in the media. You're not listening to somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about. I want to go through this again. He's a former Fort Hood commander. Now, is it not true that you wear the Army Master Parachutist badge, the Air Assault badge, the Navy Marine Corps Parachutist insignia, the Italian Parachutist Wings and German Proficiency badge?
That's correct. Now, all those.
Well, I know that you're... Let me read them, because I know most guys like you who are this distinguished get embarrassed by this, but I have to do this for a reason. And that is because the media is so filled with anti-military people that I have to establish your bona fides. You served in several combat zones, Operation Desert Storm, Operation Iraqi Freedom, where you were a battalion commander for the Army's 4th Infantry Division. You trained Afghani officers to take on the responsibility of securing their own country. You've been there and you have done that. You've been honored many times, including a Bronze Star, 3 Army Commendation Medals, 1 with Valor. I can go on and on and on. But what happened to you, would you mind if I told the audience what happened to you a while ago?
No, sir. You can go right ahead.
Lieutenant Colonel Alan West was serving in Iraq when on August 20th, 2003, as a commander of the 2nd Battalion, 20th Field Artillery, 4th Infantry Division, Lieutenant West was in charge of the interrogation of an Iraqi police officer who was suspected of having information about planned attacks on American forces. According to the Iraqi police officer, they claimed that during the interrogation, soldiers under West's supervision assaulted him to get him to talk. Are you listening to this? When the detainee didn't talk, Lieutenant Colonel West fired his 9mm pistol close to the man's head. And at this point, the rat gave information after saying he knew nothing. The rat gave information about a planned ambush, resulting in the ambush being thwarted. And according to Colonel West, there were no further ambushes on U.S. forces in this area until he was relieved on command in 03. And then the fun began. He was just short of serving 20 years, charged with violating Articles 128, 134, danger of receiving an 11-year prison sentence, a dishonorable discharge, and losing his retirement benefits. Luckily, he fought it. You went through an Article 32 hearing in November of 03. You admitted wrongdoing. You were fined $5,000 over 2 months for misconduct and assault, and you submitted your resignation. You retired with full benefits in the summer of 04. A man of your caliber, they drove out of the military for doing his job for one of these human rats. Now, Lieutenant West is running for Congress in the, would you say, the Delray Beach area? Is that the correct area, Florida?
It's from Fort Lauderdale all the way up to Palm Beach County.
Now, it's interesting. Isn't this Wexler's former district?
Well, no, it is Ron Klein. The Wexler district is just to the west of the district I'm running for, which is 22.
So who is the current incumbent in that district?
That's Ron Klein. He is in his second term.
Is he a Republican or a Democrat?
He's a very far-left Democrat.
All right, well, that's the heavy-duty radicals from Brooklyn neighborhood. You know that, and I know that.
Yeah.
I know the area extremely well. I have a number of relatives living there. Every one of them is a pinko. How can you ever win around pinkos who are like this?
Well, the thing was, this Congressional District 22 was held for 26 years by a Republican. It was Clay Shaw. It was lost in 2006 to Ron Klein, and if you remember, 2006 was a very bad atmosphere because of the angst against George W. Bush and Ron Klein. I mean, and the war in Iraq.
Yeah, but are you telling me that the Delhi people from New York who hold dual citizenships between Brooklyn and Delray are going to vote for a war hero? They're going to always choose somebody who's anti-American down there.
I think that, you know, we ran for this exact same district in 2008. I had just gotten back from Afghanistan, and in an eight-month campaign, we finished up with 45.3% of the vote just a year ago. The thing is, Americans are looking for stand-up kind of guys. They're looking for people who have leadership potential. They're looking for people who will speak the truth. They're looking for principle. They're not looking for the same old D.C. inside career politician.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm going to support your campaign, Colonel West. You can guarantee it that I'm going to support your campaign. But I want to go back to the mass murder at Fort Hood. You served at Fort Hood, former Fort Hood commander. Why were the men inside this room disarmed? Why did they have no weapons themselves?
Well, that's one of the things that people don't realize. Your day-to-day operations on a military installation, no one is carrying weapons. As a matter of fact, the only people that will be carrying a weapon on a military base are the military police. The only time you pull your weapons out of these secure arms rooms is if you're going out to the field for a training exercise or to the rifle range or a pistol range. So this major knew exactly what he was doing in going to this soldier reception center, which is a very close, confined area, kind of like a waiting room in the middle and different places where soldiers...
So it was like shooting ducks in a barrel to this psychopathic coward. Okay, the next question is, where was the armed MP at the door, or was there none?
Well, there was, you know, basically what you look at, the force protection level and the threat condition level on the post was not... warranting any type of military police person to be standing guard. So, you know, a military installation like Fort Hood, which is the largest in the world, is just like a big city. So you can just imagine people going to a shopping mall, a PX, going into their housing area, going to the schools, and your military police are out there doing their routine patrols. They're not standing guard.
So it's like a college campus, in other words.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's like a city. Imagine if you put a big fence around Delray Beach, Florida. And you'd have a military installation.
Wait a minute. So the enemy knows this. They now are celebrating, no doubt, in their caves, that one of their own, a Trojan horse, worked his way up into the major level and at will opened up on soldiers and civilians as though they were sitting ducks because of the guard has been let down in America. Don't they see this? Wouldn't you say as a trained professional military man that the enemy knows that our military bases are like ducks in a barrel now?
Well, of course he does, and the enemy is going to exploit each and every weakness that he sees. Look, we are being probed, we are being tested each and every day, not just, you know, the United States of America is a battlefield now. It's not just Iraq or Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia, Yemen, or wherever. This is a battlefield right here, and the continuous threats that we have seen, that we have thwarted, and now we see what happens when you don't get to thwart an event, these are going to continue because you're up against a very vile enemy. And the thing about this Major Hassan, there were warnings about this gentleman. He should have never been transferred from Walter Reed Medical Center where he had a poor evaluation. He had made some very ugly comments. And as well, he was under FBI investigation for some postings he had made on
the... Right. Now, the FBI is watching him, or were they waiting for the body bags before they acted?
Well, this is where this paralysis by political correctness comes in, Mr. Savage, and we have got to get away from it. Like I said, when I listen to the media reports and all they keep saying how this guy is a victim, no one is talking about the 13 soldiers who lost their lives and the 30 who were wounded. No one is talking about the men and the women and the families that are there on Fort Hood, as well as every other military installation worldwide that are now living in a state of terror because they don't know. You're supposed to be safe on a military installation. When I lived there at Fort Hood, you know, my daughters could go out at 10 o'clock at night in the housing area, the family housing area, and play with their friends and ride their bikes or whatever because you felt that safe. That feeling is no longer there anymore.
Well, why doesn't the military post armed MPs in every barrack and at every public event? What, if they don't have the men with guns? Well, they have to hire a contractor to do that in order to make sure some of the money spreads around inside the Democrat machine. I've never heard anything like this. How could men in the military be disarmed like this? I never knew this. Truthfully, as a civilian, Colonel, I did not know the men were unarmed.
Oh, like I said, the only people that are, you know...
Well, wait a minute. Hold it a minute. When did this start? Which president took the sidearms away from our troops and said that they're too dangerous, post-traumatic stress disorder, a psycho, let's put them in a safe... I know in the 50s, every soldier had a handgun, didn't they?
Well, back in those days, but as we have come along, when I came into the military in 1982, like I said, the only people that were armed on an installation were the military police. And see, now, because of the drawdown of forces and the stress of deployments, the outer security and the security checkpoints at the gates coming in is done by contracted Department of the Army civilian police force now.
Why would they need contractors when they have hundreds of thousands of people in the military? Why would they need a contractor?
Because, Michael, the thing that has happened is that each and every soldier, with the increased deployments and how we have so drawn down the United States military, we don't have the soldiers that can man the security around a large military installation like a Fort Hood, a Fort Bragg.
Oh, my God. It's that bad. It's that bad. It's starting to sound like we're like Spain or Portugal. It's a nightmare. Colonel West, I'm speechless by what I am hearing. I am speechless at what I am learning. Here is the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history. I am the only one asking these questions in the entire media landscape. How is that possible?
Well, I think it's possible because people don't want to be confronted with the truth. We have gotten to that point where, you know, right now the number one thing that has to happen, we have to admit that this was a jihadist attack. And we have to go through and...
Say that again. You and I agree that he was wearing a white religious outfit. He screamed out Allah Akbar, and it was a jihadist attack. This was absolutely a jihadist attack. Would you agree with me that this was a sleeper cell, a one-man sleeper cell, or a lone wolf, would you say? How would you describe this?
Well, we don't know if he was a lone wolf. We don't know if he was part of a larger cell with other people who are within the military or, you know, operating out of local mosques, you know, that are in the vicinity of our military bases. Just the same as you have these Islamic centers that are in the vicinity of our prisons. And you have these imams that are going in and converting men in prisons, and then when they get released, they go out and they think they have plastic explosives and they're going to blow up a synagogue in New York. And so we really need to take a hard look at our security situation here in the United States of America to include, you know, who are we allowing to go into our prisons? Look at what's going on in our military installation. Because I'm telling you, they are looking at how we are reacting to this. If we're going to look at this as a law enforcement type of thing, we're going to look at this as some lone, crazed gunman and try to make a parallel between Major Hassan and the guy who just shot his coworkers up in Orlando, Florida. You can't look at it this way. You can't look at Carlos Bledsoe and what he did shooting those two U.S. soldiers at the Little Rock, Arkansas recruiting station like a routine police event. This is part of a global war. This is part of a terrorist action. This is part of making us live in a state of terror all across this country.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Allen West, former Fort Hood commander, highly decorated. He has served in both Iraq and Afghanistan. He says that the tragedy at Fort Hood is proof the enemy is infiltrating our military. I also want to add that Lieutenant Colonel West is running for Congress in one of the most despicably liberal areas of Florida. And I'm going to make a commitment right now, Lieutenant Colonel West, that I will raise money. I will give money to your campaign, and I'll raise money for your campaign. Maybe you can save those people from themselves.
Well, and I think that's what has to happen. If we do not get leaders in Washington, D.C. that can truly understand this enemy, understand their goals and objectives, have studied them, and have fought against them, these type of things are going to continue to happen in our country. And the government is supposed to do one thing primarily, and that is protect our life, our liberty, and our pursuit of happiness.
But instead of closing down today in memory of those who were slaughtered because of their multicultural political correctness, the House voted on a resolution to congratulate the New York Yankees. That's number two. Before you go, Colonel West, how do people contribute to your campaign?
Absolutely. You can do so through our website, which is www.allenwestforcongress.com. Allen is spelled with two L's and an E. And please go to our website, share our website, and we got YouTube videos. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and we've got 360.
I'm going to do a lot more on your behalf before long, and I hope the next time I'm in Florida we can get together and have a beer.
That would be great, sir.
Lieutenant Colonel West, God bless you. Thanks for serving America so bravely. I'll be right back.
Savage.
after the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history, the media is turning the story, spinning the story, turning the man into the victim, the murderer into a victim. The Congress is on a bullet train to socialized medicine. They didn't even take a day off from their scam. And I'm the only one in the media today at this time talking about it. Let's go to the callers here on the Savage Nation. You can read all the stories I found that are worth looking at on michaelsavage.com. Michael in San Diego, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, this guy is a victim because of this fraudulent war of the George Bush administration and the racism that he had to face. And plus, you would never join the military because you're a rat.
Hold it. Before you start attacking me, what did you think of Colonel West and his opinion?
Some hack. That's all he is. He's just trying to get some publicity for his little congressional...
You do know that he's a highly decorated combat veteran, Michael, don't you?
What?
You heard me. He's a highly decorated combat veteran, Michael.
Yeah, he... Those troops during 1991 where he just kind of...
Michael, did you hear what I said? He's a highly decorated combat veteran, and he happens to be an African-American. You piece of human detritus. You piece of garbage. You piece of garbage, you. You rat, you. You left-wing vermin. You're lower than a worm. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Hassan shouted, Allah Akbar, wore Muslim garb before the shooting, shot our men and our women as though they were ducks in a barrel. The media says that he's a Muslim, doesn't matter.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is the Savage Nation, the day after the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history, a day that U.S. Congress should be closed for business as usual, but the money changers in the temple of democracy do not have a rest in mind, do they? Nancy Pelosi has a mind only on the golden prize, the trillion-dollar prize. They will lose the military vote over this as sure as I am sitting here. Obama has been seen for what he is, a man who reads a teleprompter and has no heart and no feelings for anything, apparently. And we are going to talk about that today until we can no longer talk about it. I'm going to ask you to do something right now as we play Taps for the Dead. I owe it to them. You owe it to them. Or you'd be hands and knees. And I'll say it again. And I don't know how much longer this is going to go on in this country. I don't know how much longer this country can hold. I'm almost ashamed to be an American after what happened yesterday. The men are disarmed. Who disarmed them? Who took the guns away from our military at the bases? Find out which president. I'll give you the answer in this hour. Why was there no MP at the gate to stop this psychopathic religious fanatic? Why was he not shot when he entered? Why did the FBI not haul him in 6 months ago when he started making anti-American, anti-military statements? Why, oh, why, oh, why? My, oh, my, oh, my.
Which government agency do you believe failed the troops? Well, how about starting with all of the above? Who should be fired? How about checking all of the above? How did he get an automatic rifle through the door? Why is Homeland Security suddenly so silent? The only thing I want to do right now is ask you to do the following. If you're in a car, either pull over or flash your lights. If you're at home, would you please, please put your hand over your heart. For 1 minute, drop your cynicism as an American. For 1 second, suspend your disbelief. Just for 1 second, remember that there are people who are dead, others injured, families are going to be hurt forever. As we play a memorial in the form of the military taps for those who died at the hands of multiculturalism and liberalism yesterday at Fort Hood. Go ahead, please. I'd like to now read you a children's fable called The Trojan Horse. The Trojan Horse is a fable. After the events of the Iliad and the death of Hector, the Trojan War was not yet over. Neither the Greeks nor the Trojans seemed to be able to win, till one of the Greek kings, Odysseus of Ithaca, had an idea. "Build a big wooden horse on wheels," he said, "big enough for a bunch of Greek soldiers to hide inside it." So the Greeks did. Then the Greeks all pretended to sail home except the ones hiding inside the horse. They acted like they had given up and left, but really they hid just around the corner. Soon the Trojans found the horse. "What is it?" they asked each other. Well, nobody knew. The Greek soldiers hiding inside kept very quiet. Then they found the Greek soldier hiding nearby. He said, though this was part of the trick, that the other Greeks hated him and they had left him behind. So the Trojans asked him what the horse was for. He said it was an offering to Athena. Well, the Trojans didn't want to upset Athena either, so they rolled the big horse into the city of Troy. It was so big it wouldn't go through the gate, and they had to tear down a piece of the city wall to get it in. They left it at the temple of Athena, and then the Trojans had a big party to celebrate the end of the war. Still, the Greek soldiers inside the horse kept very quiet. Finally, everyone fell asleep, and now the Greek soldiers came out of the Trojan horse and killed the guards on the walls. They then signaled to the other Greeks to come attack Troy. They could get in now because the walls were torn down. There was a big battle, and the Greeks won. All the Trojan men were killed, and all the women and children were taken back to Greece as slaves. A little fable for you out there in the savage nation. Those who do not know history are condemned to repeat it. Now, we've heard that phrase over and over again, and we think it applies to someone else in another time. It applies to other nations at other times. But it doesn't apply to you because you're a smart person. You went to college. You can read the internet. You're smart. You're up on things. It can't happen here. Can't happen here when it did happen here. This is the worst mass murder spree in the U.S. at a U.S. military base in history, and you don't even know about it anymore. They're celebrating the Yankees' victory in New York City. Congress is voting on whether to congratulate the New York Yankees. There's not a mention in Congress, not a ripple about the Fort Hood massacre. The president gets up yesterday and for 2 minutes and 20 seconds goes on and on about Chief Crazy Horse and Indian reservations. And then as an offhanded gesture at the end, he says something about, oh, yes, and Fort Hood. And what does the media do? What does the socialist, communist, compliant media do? They cut out the 2 minutes and 20 seconds that led up to Obama's limp-wristed a statement about Fort Hood. Beware the government media complex, said a talk show host in 1998 or 1999 at the Commonwealth Club. Beware the government media complex. And so, there are a few things that need to be said. Number one, if you are a military personnel person,
if you have anyone in the military, I want you to remember forever what the Democrats did to you today. I want you to remember how they disrespected the tragedy and the dead. You decide whether they're worth your vote. And I'm going to make the statement I made in the last hour again, because this is my actual and true belief. In the longer I scan the planet and see what is going on, and I see the sewer pipe that comes out of Hollywood, and I see the sewer pipe that comes out of the media to the world, the sewer pipe that has virtually destroyed our fiber, our willingness to stand up and live, let alone fight, I will say it again. Only a resurgent evangelical Christian movement can save America from this descent into obscurity, defeat, and disgrace. I stand by those words. I believe them. Is there something illegal in what I just said? Is there something illegal in what I just said to you? Do you believe that the obverse is true? Do you believe that only a resurgent atheism and cultural degeneracy? Do you believe that only a resurgent, or shall I say, a furtherance of the cultural degeneracy and anti-religious fervor of the fanatics in the government and the media will save America from this descent into obscurity, defeat, and disgrace? Which corollary do you think is true? Take your choice. Take your choice. God sees the truth but waits. And now on to the questions on the Savage Nation. Here are the questions again. Which government agency do you blame for the shooting at Fort Hood? Why has Big Sis Janet Napolitano been nowhere during this crisis? What is she doing with her budget? Who gave you the worst coverage of this story? Why do you think the media completely dropped the Fort Hood story when the Orlando shooting began? Why haven't the cable news networks managed to get a TV interview outside the mosque where Hassan prayed on a daily basis? Why was there no armed MP to stop Hassan at the entrance of the base, of this hall? When were the soldiers on military bases disarmed? Which president did it, Carter, Clinton, or Bush? I'll be right back.
Savage.
About the Fort Hood suspects. History is a suspect now. There were no eyewitnesses. Hundreds of people heard him scream Allah Akbar and shoot them, but thus far it's an alleged gunman and a suspect. You hear the country we're living in? The double talk? You have to go to the government to think first. Well, I didn't get that training. Had difficulties as an intern at Walter Reed that required counseling and supervision. They can't tell us what the difficulties are. Apparently, by what I've read somewhere else, we found out what the difficulties were. He was proselytizing his religion to patients. Then, 6 months ago, the FBI noted that he had internet postings about suicide bombings and other threats, including posts that equated suicide bombers to soldiers who throw themselves on a grenade to save the lives of their comrades. Although they cannot confirm that Hassan is the author of the posting, and a formal investigation had not been opened up before the shooting, they do now know that he was a dangerous man because of the dead people. They can pretty much have a meeting about that at the FBI. They can pretty much conclude that he is allegedly a dangerous man. That's until the investigation is over. You know, they can pretty much conclude that he's a dangerous man. So now you have a base full of military personnel, none of whom have guns. What is this, a Boy Scout convention? This is like the head of the armor division for the U.S., and they have no guns? Who took their guns away? Which president disarmed our troops? Jim in Mobile, Alabama, do you know for a fact, please?
Yeah, Dr. Savage, it wasn't President Bush, it wasn't President Clinton that disarmed the troops. I served in the United States Navy from 1978 to 82, and during that time, at the beginning of the Jimmy Carter administration, there was like a fundamental change that occurred that concerned the enforcement of disarmament of military personnel. What you were required to do is any personal firearms had to be kept, like for, in my case, in the ship's armory.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was Jimmy Carter again?
Well, that's true.
Again, this disease, this virus goes back to the Jimmy Carter himself?
Well, his administration is the one that stepped up the enforcement. What happened is when I first was in the Navy, I was a payroll officer, and I used to openly carry my own firearm, which was a .38 Special, and a holster on my belt. And when I went to go to the base bank and everything, collect money for, you know, going on ship tours, I'd be collecting perhaps as much as, say, $700,000, maybe $1 million in that range. And right after the Clinton administration took power there, I went to the bank and with my own personal firearm, and a complaint was lodged with my command. It went back to our ship and everything about.
So the liberalism of Carter and Clinton deballed our military.
That's right.
All right.
As it turned out,
all right. I rest my case. Liberalism is a mental disorder that we know already. That's a given. But now we know liberalism is a dangerous mental disorder. Hassan reportedly shouted Allahu Akbar, according to the Associated Press. We can't confirm that. Only about a dozen people who were shot at or killed, shot at or saw the murder said that. But we can't confirm that. We haven't run it yet through the Obama administration. Surveillance video shows him in a convenience store, carrying a beverage, dressed in traditional religious Arab garb. The holy man before he went out on his jihad. With a big smile on his face. Big, big, brave man. According to WorldNet Daily, he advised the Obama transition team. This is an article from WorldNet Daily. Major Nidal Malik Hassan played a Homeland Security advisory role in President Barack Obama's transition into the White House, according to a key University Policy Institute document. Go ahead, read it. It's on my website. Go ahead, read it. Go and read it. He was an advisor to Obama's transition in the Homeland Security Department. Go ahead. Go read it. Take a look at what liberalism has wrought. Go ahead. Then decide for yourself whether this is hyperbole or reality. Go ahead. And don't say it was not premeditated, because this piece of human garbage, this piece of offal lying there on the tubes and whatever, apparently emptied out his apartment before the attack, including a new Quran he gave his neighbor. Gave away a new Quran, cheese from the refrigerator. So apparently it was a premeditated homicide that he went on. Interesting. We still don't know who we picked out yet. We still don't know that. We don't know that. We do know that Obama's frightening insensitivity after the shooting has now filtered out to the people in this country who know what's going on. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll play it for you. Here is Barack Hussein Obama yesterday, when the whole world was waiting for him to say something about Fort Hood, rambling on about Chief Crazy Horse. Listen to clip 24.
Let me, first of all, just thank Ken and the entire Department of the Interior staff for organizing just an extraordinary conference. I want to thank my cabinet members.
See, every interchange, I thought he was going to go on to Fort Hood. Listen.
Participated today. I hear that Dr. Listen. Joe Medicine Crow was around, and so I want to give a shout out to that Congressional Medal of Honor winner.
I thought he was going
to
mention Fort
Good
Hood.
To see you.
Instead, Joe Medicine Crow.
My understanding is that you
Johnny Crutt is coming in now. Now Johnny Crutt's on the way in.
I want to thank all of you for coming and for your efforts.
Here? Not a word about Fort Hood.
I want to give you my solemn guarantee that this is not the end of a process, but a beginning of a process.
I don't know what he was talking about. I didn't know what he was doing.
We are going to
Let's stop right here. This is Obama, right after the devastating attack at Fort Hood, and the man shows zero leadership. He shows the opposite of leadership, and this is coming, by the way. I did it yesterday because I was stunned, but it hit NBC local news outlets. They called it Obama's frightening insensitivity following the shooting. But the vermin in the media cut out the whole 2 minutes before it and made it sound like he talked about it.
Savage.
Are you furious today, sad, bored, laughing, intrigued, or don't know what's going on? Thrilled? Which one are you? Are you thrilled by what happened? Furious, sad, bored? Are you laughing at it? Are you intrigued? Even NBC News, a local one, said Obama's frightening insensitivity following shooting,
A bad week for Democrats compounded by an awful moment for Barack Obama. Listen to this. Obama didn't wait long after Tuesday's devastating elections to give critics another reason to question his leadership, but this time the subject matter was more grim than a pair of governorships. After news broke out of the shooting at the Fort Hood Army Post in Texas, the nation watched in horror as the toll of dead and injured climbed. The White House was notified immediately, and by late afternoon, word went out that the president would speak about the incident prior to a previously scheduled appearance. At about 5 p.m., cable stations went to the president. The situation called for not only his trademark eloquence, but also grace and perspective. But instead of a somber chief executive offering reassuring words and expressions of sympathy and compassion, viewers saw a wildly disconnected and inappropriately light president making introductory remarks at the event. A tribal nations conference hosted by the Department of Interior's Bureau of Indian Affairs, the president thanked various staffers and offered a shout-out to Dr. Joe Medicine Crow, that Congressional Medal of Honor winner. 3 minutes in, the president spoke about the shooting in measured and appropriate terms. Who is advising him? Anyone at home aware of the major news story of the previous hours had to have been stunned. An incident like this requires a scraping of the early light banter. The president should apologize for the tone of his remarks, explain what has happened, express sympathy for those slain, and appeal for calm and patience until all the facts are in. That's the least that should occur. Frankly, he should have canceled the Indian event. Frankly, Congress should have closed for the day. They should have closed for the day. But instead, Nancy Pelosi and her bullet train towards grifterdom races forward, races onward, races onward. So they reel from the election. They lose New Jersey. They say they won. They lose Virginia. They say they won. There's a tragedy unlike any on a military base in American history, and they don't know what to say. All the president's men and women are absolutely incompetent, and Democrats across the country should pay for it. They should all be fired. There should be a broom that sweeps them all out of office as fast as possible. Marilyn Lee, you're on the Savage Nation. Lee, you're on the Savage Nation. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Tucson, Arizona. Jason, go ahead, please.
Hey, I wanted to let you know I was listening to your show the whole 3 hours, and at the end of your show, they do the local, it was ABC News affiliate update, and they were counting that guy as one of the victims on that shooting.
Well, that's typical of the vermin in the media. Yes, they started doing that with the Palestinian and Iraqi suicide bombers. They counted them as victims. Yes, the vermin in the media have done that for a long time. Not only are they suicidal, but the people in the media are fundamentally on working for the other side. They may as well put on a headscarf and start chanting to Allah themselves.
Yeah, because I was amazed because they didn't count the shooter at the...
They may as well go to work for the Taliban on MSNBC. They just may as well make the full move and just outright go to work for the Taliban. Thanks for the call. Okay. Utah, Tom, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to piece together the whole thing for you. I mean, the audio clip tells it all, but when you watch the actual news feed on TV for the entire 2 minutes and change that you're talking about, he sits there and the bottom feed says, this is on Fox News, it sits there and says, Obama to talk about Fort Hood disaster. It makes it look terribly idiotic. It'd be like Franklin Roosevelt talking about fashion while the bottom news feed said Pearl Harbor attack kicks off. It was truly pathetic.
When I went on the air yesterday, I was so outraged, I said, this is the George Bush moment. Remember what Bush did, sat there stunned like a deer in the headlights after 9/11 in a little chair, and how the media ridiculed him for 8 straight years, calling him incompetent and the boy president? Do you remember that, Tom?
I bet, you bet. I remember seeing him sitting there.
Well,
in that.
I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the goose here. I mean, isn't it obvious that he is also exactly out of touch with reality in the same manner?
Well, it was unbelievable.
All right, well, we know this. We know this, but now there are consequences to the incompetence of Obama. The worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history. No one in the government has been fired today. I want to remind you what a legitimate government does. And I've told the story a few times before. About 25 years ago in France, if I remember correctly, maybe 20 years ago,
there was tainted blood that got into the blood supply, and a number of people died. The French people were so outraged by the incompetence of the French Ministry of Health that they insisted the director of the French Ministry of Health be tried. She was tried, found guilty, and sent to prison. Now, she had nothing to do on the ground with the blood, nor with the tainted blood. But the French understood that the buck stops at the top. And whoever was in charge of the health ministry should rightly be punished, and she was. I always remember that. Who in America should be punished? Who should be fired? Who? Which department failed the worst? I mean, you want to start from the top and work your way down? Who did their jobs here? Should the Secretary of the Army be fired? Should the Director of Homeland Security be fired? Should the head of the FBI be fired? Who did this? I mean, this is negligence. They got the guy under surveillance, and he goes on a shooting spree. And they're all dummying up. No one's there. Who did this? Which government agency do you believe failed the troops the most? I keep asking, where were the MPs? There's no answer. There were none. This was a civilian woman. The woman who shot him was Sergeant Kimberly Munley, a tough woman who has the guts to get up and get in a shooting exchange with him. She shoots this cretin four times. She is shot in the exchange, but she stands there shooting. The men didn't have guns. Who is she? Is she in the military? No. No. Officer Munley is a cop. She's a cop. She's a cop. She should be the head of the Department of Homeland Security. I guarantee you the borders would be closed. I guarantee you they wouldn't be building a small Homeland Security bases in the Canadian border. I can guarantee you we'd have someone protecting us. Something is so wrong, it's like I'm living in Alice in Wonderland. Like I'm living in Alice in Wonderland. The whole thing's upside down. They're telling you to have sympathy for the murderer. I never saw anything like this. How do you people even listen to shows like that? So you turn on Fox, you think you're going to hear the other side? I couldn't believe what I heard last night. They have some character named Dinesh D'Souza, never heard of him. Brent Bozo, never heard of him. Geraldine Ferraro, a hack from the 1980s, from the Carter era. And they say nothing. Listen to clip 18.
I think the motives of the shooter are very hard to say.
Bingo, finished, gone. Moronic. Then Brent Bozo, listen to this one, another so-called conservative. Listen to this jerk.
It's a strange, strange story today. Two things I think that are going to merge. One is that...
All right, get him off the show. First of all, when you know you use a deep voice and say it twice, it doesn't mean you said anything, Brent. It's a strange, strange story. No, you're a strange weirdo. And then the idiotic Ferraro, who was a hack in the Carter era, now is suddenly on a panel on Fox News. She's a panelist, and she says it has to do with post-traumatic stress disorder.
I agree with your previous panelist, Essie, when she
Turn
said she's...
I can't even listen to that voice, please. Now, wait a minute. I'm saving the best for the lastest. Here is one of the biggest con men in American history. I would say that this guy is as close to P.T. Barnum in the psychology field as you can get. His name is Dr. Phil. His claim to fame is that Oprah Winfrey thinks he's a good therapist, puts him on a level of Sigmund Freud, Adler, Freud, you name it. The guy is a complete and total loser, doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. And now listen to this fraud, Dr. Phil, in clip one.
You do have to look at all things, but you don't get on national television and say somebody's last name suggests that. I mean, these are the kind of things that get people reacting in a negative way and starting to be suspicious of their neighbors. This man was a United States citizen. He was a major in the Air Force. He went to Virginia Tech, for God's sakes.
Now you understand why Oprah Winfrey has him on the show. If you have less than 100 IQ, even after eating fish oil capsules, and with 3 years of rehabilitation, then you would think that Dr. Phil is a therapist. Now, he was on a panel on CNN, this clown, talking against a Tom Kenneth, a judge advocate general, who actually fought over there. Listen to clip four now.
With all due respect to Dr. Phil, having been through the war in Iraq and having seen what these soldiers go through, with respect to this incident, I need to take a giant step back from all the psychobabble I've been hearing for the last few hours. I mean, let's take a look at this, the facts of this situation. This is not some lower enlisted soldier. This is a major. He's a high-ranking field grade officer. That means that he outranks approximately 95% of the military. He has a medical doctor. He's an MD. That means that he occupies a position of prestige, not only within the military, but also within society at large. He is paid well for the job he does. You know, this looks a lot less like PTSD and a lot more like the Hassan Akbar case in 2003, where another soldier who has an Islamic last name throws grenades randomly into tents occupied by his fellow officers and by his fellow soldiers for no other reason but to commit acts of terror and to instill fear on a military installation.
Now you understand why he was attacked by this know-nothing P.T. Barnum of psychology, Dr. Phil, because he knows what he's talking about. I'll be right back.
Savage.
A person behind the counter stood up. And he said, Allah Akbar, and just opened up on everybody.
I want to begin by offering an update on the tragedy that took place yesterday at Fort Hood. This morning I met with FBI Director Mueller and the relevant agencies to discuss their ongoing investigation and what caused one individual to turn his gun on fellow servicemen and women. We don't know all the answers yet. And I would caution against jumping to conclusions until we have all the facts.
Apparently, the American people have more facts than the government does. According to another report, in addition to the Allah Akbar shout, the shooter pushed Islam on patients. Source told National Public Radio today that Hassan was given a period of probation early in his post-grad work for proselytizing Islam with co-workers and soldiers he was treating. The source was someone who worked with Hassan at the time, NPR reported. NPR now. I guess they're now a right-wing organization. The Associated Press has said authorities actually started looking into Hassan's activities several months ago after Internet postings about suicide bombings were linked to him. Of course, the Council on American Islamic Relations, my good friends, has been working overtime. And the Muslims Fear Black Backlash victimhood machine is in high gear. By the way, those of you who think that the health care bill is good, little news just came out. Nancy Lugosi's bill has just been looked at. And if you don't buy the policy, you will pay a $15,000 fine or go to jail. That's right. It just came out. It was found. You buy a $15,000 policy or you go to jail. There's the actual language here. It says it right here. Criminal penalties. Section 7203 of Bela Lugosi's health care bill. Misdemeanor willful failure to buy a health plan is punishable by a fine of up to $25,000 and or imprisonment of up to a year. I'm not making it up. Section 7201 of Madam Lugosi's health care takeover says felony willful evasion is punishable by a fine of up to $250,000 and or imprisonment of up to 5 years. Did you hear what I just said to you? Jail time if you don't buy the $15,000 premium that Madam Lugosi wants. How did this happen that the country has been hijacked by a gang? How is this possible? It can't be. 5 years in prison? Buy a $15,000 policy or go to jail? Is this woman out of touch with reality? Does anyone in America hear me? We've just come through the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history. Congress runs a question today on whether to honor the New York Yankees. They don't even close down for business. Instead, they run Madam Lugosi's health care scam on a bullet train. How does the country get taken over like this? The woman shot him. A woman. The soldiers were hiding. I would have hid too if I didn't have a gun. And Mr. whatever came in there. The major. The great major. The great major doctor. Brought down by a woman, a mother no less, goes into a shootout with him.
goes into a shootout with him. She hits him four times. She gets shot herself. Why is she not held up like a hero today? Why? Because you need to start asking questions. Why did it take a cop, a police officer named Kimberly Munley? Why did it take a woman, a slightly built 34-year-old woman police officer, to take down Major Nidal Malik Hassan instead of the military itself? Where were the MPs? Who took the MPs away? Who disarmed our troops inside the barracks? Why does Alfred E. Newman Obama not immediately say that we're going to rearm our troops in the barracks? We're going to put MPs in the barracks. Where is the sense in all of this? Tell me. She's a woman, a cop, no less. She hit him four times, even after being hit by a bullet that passed through both of her legs. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine this? This woman is a hero. But Major Hassan, the Muslim, Major Hassan, the expert in combat stress, survived the shooting. Don't think it's in the government's interest for there to be a trial, frankly, personally. Sorry to say it. Somehow I don't think they want Major Hassan on a witness stand screaming, yes, I'm part of a cell, yes, Allah Akbar, and yes, it was jihad. Now, something tells me Major Hassan will get a Jack Ruby soon. Let's hope not. I mean, let's hope that there's a trial and he's brought to justice. I mean, we don't know if he's guilty. According to Dr. Phil, I mean, we have to wait till all the facts are in. It could have been Richard Nixon who did it. It may have been Richard Nixon who came back from the grave disguised as a Muslim just to provoke the right wing. You don't really know. It may not have been Army psychiatrist Nidal Malik Hassan, and he may not have said Allah Akbar, and he wasn't wearing Muslim garb. That's all an invention of the right wing. We don't know yet. We have to wait till everything is in. The world has gone insane. Obama has given us a message that only insane people would listen to not to jump to conclusions. Everyone knows what happened. No one wants to admit what everyone knows about the commonality of all these attacks. They're all being done by Muslims, all of them being done against the West. Every last one of them. He didn't lead the nation in mourning. He was a disgrace to the nation. She deserves the National Freedom Medal. Imagine this. Imagine what's going on in your country. It's like a world that's gone upside down. It's Alice in Wonderland. You wake up every day, you're afraid to get out of bed. You cannot believe the crazy people running the country. Between the incompetence and the madness and the far-left agenda, you don't know how much longer the country can stand hold up together. How can the people take any more of Nancy Pelosi? How can they take this? The woman is berserk. She's gone out of her mind. How could Congress not understand that the American people know that they have disgraced the nation by not closing down for business as usual today? Just go dark. You just had the greatest massacre at a U.S. military base in history. There are people who are dead, others dying, others wounded, families grieving, and you get up and talk about the New York Yankees? You get up there like a bunch of jerks, and you talk about that, and you have nothing to offer the American people, and the president bumbles on about a chief crazy horse for 2 minutes? I couldn't believe my ears. It's getting crazier and nuttier by the day. It's like the world has gone off its axis. The world has gone mad. No one's responsible for this. Not the FBI, not Homeland Security, not Mumbo, and not Jumbo. It's you who did it. You who did it because you weren't nice to Mr. Allahu Akbar.
Savage.
Visit TRNCentral.com, your one-stop for news and all things talk radio. That's TRNCentral.com.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen up.
talking today on the Savage Nation about the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history. And we've asked many questions. Which government agency do you believe failed the troops? Who should be fired? Where were MPs with weapons? How did he get an automatic rifle through the door? Why is Homeland Security silent? Where is the FBI? If they were tracking him for 6 months, why did they not arrest him? Another question is, if anyone makes anti-government statements, anti-military statements while in the military, shouldn't logic dictate that they should be dismissed immediately? And here are some questions. Again, which government agency do you blame for the shooting at Fort Hood? Why has Big Sis Janet Napolitano of Homeland Security been nowhere during this crisis? It turns out that a woman, Sergeant Kimberly Munley, was the one who shot down Hassan. Why is it that the women are saving us? Why are the men disarmed in the barracks? None of them carry weapons. Who did that? Clinton? Bush? Why did they disarm our men in the barracks? Who had the worst coverage of this story? Amazingly, as I was watching CNN last night, Anderson Cooper was actually outstripping Fox News. He had a video of the shooter, Hassan, buying coffee at a convenience store while dressed in full Middle Eastern garb. That's a white cloak and a white hat. Anderson Cooper may be biased, but at least he wasn't afraid to show America the face of this enemy. And by the way, correct me if I am mistaken, but before they go on a jihad spree, they generally put on their religious garb. Why do you think the midstream useless media completely dropped the Fort Hood massacre as soon as the Orlando shooting started? And why haven't the cable news networks managed to get a TV interview with the imam of Hassan's mosque? Now, if you think that's bad and I'm making any of this up, here are the headlines from around the country. Boston Globe going out of business. What's their headline? Nantucket Sound may get historic designation, delaying wind farm approval. Body of water deemed to have cultural significance for two Native American tribes. I'm not making it up. Florida, you think they're any better? Palm Beach Post. ACLU sues Palm Beach County over woeful graduation rate. I'm not making it up. Now remember, this is on the morning after the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history, and you wonder why the newspapers are bankrupt? Washington Post. Suspect, devout Muslim from Virginia, wanted army discharge, aunt said. Well, good for them. But then, of course, the Washington Post followed that up with, Fort Hood leads Army post a number of suicides. See, they're trying to say it was stress. Washington Times. Rare virus poses new threat to troops. Duh. Washington Post. Health reform bill allows for Hawaii to opt out. That's important. Politico notes that there were Tea Partiers descending on the Capitol yesterday. Washington Post. Democrats wary of health bill defectors amongst Democrats. Why? Owing to coverage for illegal immigrants and abortion. By the way, I believe that the sorry leadership, meaning a lack of it by Obama, the actual insult that Obama paid to the troops, and the insult that Pelosi is paying today by not calling a day of mourning, will cost the Democrats the entire military vote. I believe it should. I don't believe anyone in the military should ever vote for a Democrat again. Washington Times. Contrite Obama allocates $3 billion to Indian tribes. I guess they don't have enough from this of 9/11 suspects. Why not put them into the military?
Jesus.
Fox News. Petition calls for NFL running back to be sacked after gay slurs. Boston Globe. State gun storage laws argued before the court or whatever. L.A. Times. California legislature tries to block steep pay cuts and perks for the useless bureaucrats. Boston Globe. University of Massachusetts at Amherst cancels talk by ex-radical leader. Who could that be? Which ex-radical leader tied to Obama, I wonder? My headlines, michaelsavage.com. Worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history, and media buries it. In fact, Newsweek went one step further and blamed the military. Well, in a sense, they're right. I blame the military also. Why were the men disarmed inside the barracks? Where was there an armed MP?
Why did they not remove the psychopath when he started to show signs of hating America and hating the military? Why was he still in the military? Yes, I believe that the fault lies inside the military. Hassan shouted Allahu Akbar before he killed. Allahu Akbar before opening fire. By the way, the book Banned in Britain, Beating the Liberal Blacklist, is shipping. Thousands of people have received it. If you get this copy, you'll find that Savage was added to the list to balance the list of banned Muslims. I was a sacrificial lamb for the socialist government. So, yes, there's a difference between being shot at by a radical Muslim and being ostracized and banned from a nation because of radical Muslims. But make no mistake about it. They are at war. They know it, and our leaders don't. This is Michael Savage.
Savage.
You've already heard the vermin in the mainstream media telling you that the shooting at Fort Hood couldn't possibly be related to radical Islam. The shooter was just upset about being sent to Iraq, or upset over being picked on because he was a Muslim. Well, let's set the record straight. Joining us today with his thoughts on this, the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history, you wouldn't know it from Obama, would you, is Robert Spencer, the director of Jihad Watch, and author of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert Spencer, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. This is clearly a jihad attack, and this is the one thing that you won't hear from the mainstream media. They're talking about post-traumatic stress disorder. They're talking about how he was afraid to be deployed in Iraq. You know, it seems to me to be absolutely beyond belief that they would be seriously expecting us to believe that this guy joined the military in a context of a long time tensions and trouble with Saddam Hussein, two wars in Iraq, war in Afghanistan, and he's surprised when he's deployed in Iraq. I mean, this is ridiculous. And it never occurred to him that this might be a possibility. Really, the mainstream media is straining to find anything that it can blame this on, aside from Islamic Jihad. But it's clear this guy was an Islamic jihadist. He was passing out Qurans yesterday and giving out his furniture for free to anybody that wanted it. He knew what he was going to do. He thought he was going to die, and he wanted to die. And why did he want to die? Well, the Quran says that paradise is guaranteed to those who kill and are killed for Allah. It's chapter 9, verse 111. You can look it up. And it's the only guarantee of paradise in the entire Quran. There is no other. And so this is obviously a guy. He's very devout. He goes to the mosque every day. And he was actually disciplined when he was in medical school for proselytizing among his fellow students in the military medical school. And so this is somebody who takes Islam very seriously, clearly knows his Quran, and he's laying hold of that promise. The idea that he snaps because of having to deploy over into Iraq is ridiculous on the face of it, because after all, as I say, he must have known that that was a possibility. He must have known it for years. And likewise, he also knew that the Quran forbids Muslims to fight against other Muslims. And so I think that that may have been something that was a contingency for him all along, that he was going to do what Hassan Akbar did.
Mm-hmm.
Hassan Akbar, of course, was the American military man who killed a couple of his commanding officers in Kuwait a few years back. And he lobbed a grenade at them and said, you guys are coming into our country. You're going to kill our children and rape our women. He was an American citizen, an American convert to Islam. And he had when he converted, apparently, he also discarded the allegiance to his country and became its enemy. And the shooter yesterday, the Fort Hood shooter, is somebody who actually had complimented and praised that attack, which ought to have raised alarm bells among the officials who were dealing with him, but evidently did not, no doubt because of political correctness and fear. And so nothing was done about this guy, and even though he's expressing sympathy for jihad attacks, justifying suicide bombing, saying that it's perfectly okay for Muslims, it's actually necessary for Muslims to rise up against the U.S. military. Oh, that's just fine. And you know what's really going on here, Michael, is that the American Muslim advocacy groups like CARE, they have made it such that these guys are afraid to call attention to somebody like this shooter Hassan, because they know what would happen. If he had been brought up on charges, if he had been disciplined for these pro-jihad sentiments that he was enunciating, then CARE would have been all over him. There would have been charges of discrimination, hatred, Islamophobia, and careers might have been ruined. And so they left him in place. They let him be, and now they're paying the price at Fort Hood and the whole nation.
Do you think this was a one-time attack, or should the administration be worried about more attacks? That's almost a ludicrous question. I mean, we're wide open to the Trojan horse.
I very much see the possibility of this happening again. As a matter of fact, I don't see how we can avoid it happening again. Today, we're seeing also over the place Islamic groups condemning the attack, and that's great. I'm glad to hear it. But the reality is they're doing nothing. They have not instituted any programs in American mosques or schools to teach against the ideology that led to this. They have not cooperated with law enforcement or the FBI. They have whined and complained and tried to block every anti-jihad, anti-terror measure that's come down the pike. This is something that really is just perpetuating the problem, because we're not calling them to account. We're not asking them to do something about this. We're accepting all these bland denials and disavowals of responsibility at face value, even from groups like CARE with its unindicted co-conspirator status, its manifest support for Hamas, its thuggish opposition to free speech, its convictions of various officials on various terrorism-related activities. All that is never mentioned, and Hooper and company are all over the airwaves today, all over television, saying that we condemn this, Islam condemns this. This is the height of hypocrisy and insincerity. This is a group that has opposed every anti-terror measure that's ever come down the pike and every anti-jihad spokesman. And so for them to condemn, it's all very well, but it's not nearly enough.
Do you think this will change anything about how the military protects its own?
No, I think that it's likely to just do the opposite. Because of the climate of political correctness and fear, the climate of multiculturalism that prevails everywhere today, it's likely to be a kind of a victory for Islamic jihadists, because the military will be anxious to show they're not anti-Muslim, that they are not insensitive to the concerns of Muslims in the military, probably will undertake efforts to increase recruitment of Muslims into the military, and any idea of screening those Muslims, trying to determine their loyalties, to determine their attachment to the jihad ideology, that will be ruled out as politically incorrect.
What about the thought that this was part of a sleeper cell?
Well, I have no way of knowing if it was for certain, but I do know that Al-Qaeda manuals that have been captured certainly tell Muslims that are in these sleeper cells to appear outwardly loyal to the United States, to affect Western dress, not to carry around the Quran, not to go to mosque, and so on. This guy actually was a devout mosque goer, which may indicate, paradoxically enough, that he was not part of a sleeper cell. But in other ways, he did follow the directions that they lay out for sleepers.
Robert Spencer, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation. I went to a store. I was on my bicycle. I was bored. I went into like a knick-knack store, like a chain. Mirrors and pictures and this. I asked myself, who buys it? Everyone buys a house, an apartment. They have a book table, like remaindered books at full price. So I was bored. I looked at one. I picked it up. I had to buy it. How to Traumatize Your Children, the self-hurt series. And for me to lay out $10 for a remaindered book, I said, wow, this is funny. This is funny, How to Traumatize Your Children. And I'm going to read you some stages of best friend parenting in utero. Start buying paraphernalia for all the things you'd like to do with your child, like a baseball mitt while they're in the womb. Infancy, call your child little buddy. Start talking to your child about your feelings, even though she can't understand what you're saying. When your child is a baby, make sure your child still sleeps in your bed, at least through toddlerhood. Whenever your child cries, run to her saying, I'll never leave you. Toddler, remember, this is a book, How to Traumatize Your Children, and you should say how to turn a child into a liberal. 4, buy identical outfits for yourself and your child when they're toddlers. Decline to enroll your child in preschool. That would be too much time away from you. When they're finally a child, take your child out of school some days just so the two of you can do fun stuff together. When the child becomes an adolescent, start getting to know your child's friends. When she has sleepovers, stay up late with the gang and get them to confide in you about things they never tell their own parents. Do whatever it takes to be identified as the fun one. When they're a teenager, introduce your child to drinking and drugs, if that's what you enjoy doing, or at the very least, condone it because it's cool. Does this sound like liberals in Vermont? When they're young adults, resent the fact that your child may be striking out on her own and stage mini breakdowns to bring her back to your side. When they're adults, do whatever you can to make your child move back in with you and tell her that neither of you needs anybody else. You remember how many times I have told you that you're not supposed to be your child's best friend? Remember that? How many people think that you're supposed to be your child's best friend? They don't want a best friend. They want a parent. They want a mentor. They want a role model, not a best friend. So this book is very funny. It's also about indulging children, how you turn them into psycho-liberals from, you know, NYU, basically. That's what it comes down to. Let's see. There's this other stuff. I can't find it right now. I was laughing on the bicycle. You know, basically, it's the child. I wish I could find the one that I was with. When they're in the utero, when you start playing, like, classical music when the child's in the uterus to think that that's going to influence them. You know, with the liberal thing? They think they're a porpoise. They think that their infant is like, the uterus is a porpoise. You see all of the doughy-eyed liberal mothers sitting and listening to, like, classical music, thinking that the child hears it and it's going to affect them. Yeah, it'll affect them. It'll turn them into a czar for Obama. That's what it'll turn them into, thinking that it's superior to everybody else, anyone who might listen to Dean Martin, for example. Oh, God. I'll be right back.
Savage.
This country is under attack. Don't let there be any doubt about who this Hassan was and why he went on a shooting rampage. Forget the media. Eyewitnesses in the room where he was shooting heard him say Allah Akbar before he began his attack. Why do you think that matters?
The father of one Utah soldier says his daughter was at Fort Hood today when the shooting happened, and she called him frantic and upset soon after.
She said, Dad, I'm okay. Don't worry, I'm okay. And initially I said, what are you talking about? And she said, haven't you heard? And I said, no. And she said, we've been attacked by terrorists.
Her father told our Sarah Dolliff soldiers were sitting in a staging area for medical and dental checks when the group was startled by gunfire.
A person behind the counter stood up and he said, Allah Akbar, and just opened up on everybody.
Of course, we're under attack not only from the enemy, but from the media, which is the enemy within. Listen to Hassan's cousin, who was given free rein to cover for his jihadist relative.
You know, both of his parents are American. I want to make sure everybody understands he is a good American, and we are shocked. We just found out on the news that he was being deployed. He never even told us because we've known for the last 5 years that was probably his worst nightmare. He deals with stories. He would tell us how he would hear things, horrific things, but even before things from the war that was probably affecting him psychologically, he was dealing with some harassment in some of his with some of his military colleagues.
They let him go on and on and on.
You know, I don't think he was ever disenchanted with being in the military. I think he loved, and he was the one, like I said, who insisted on going to the military, even against his parents' wishes. It was the harassment that I think was what got to him, was him being referenced from his Middle Eastern ethnicity. To remember, this is an intelligent, educated, has family, and is making a very good income. I just, you know, I got to be honest with you. I just want to make sure that, you know, people who are watching, listening, guy's born and raised here, my cousin, he's a good American.
And then strangely, at the end of his diatribe with Schlepper Smith, he suddenly had to go.
We're interested to learn his family heritage. You said he was, this is the latest picture.
Listen, I'm really sorry, but we have to go. There's something we have to attend to. I apologize.
Tell us about that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
What happened? Did his lawyer pull him off the phone or his imam? But wait till you hear what the TV shrink, the moron, the idiot, the lunatic, the nun psychologist Dr. Phil had to say.
An Army JAG says you can't rule out terrorism. And Dr. Phil, the jerk, says, oh, that's incendiary. Listen to this moron. Now you know why he's on Oprah every day.
He appears to be of Islamic descent, which fits within the, you know, paradigm of most international terrorist incidents right now. It is completely fair to put that in play. If the facts of this case bear out that that's not it, then fine, we will have run out that ground ball. But to say that we should completely ignore that as one factor right now, it's absurd.
Well, everything's going to have to be looked at, Larry. There's no question about it. But you don't make incendiary comments like that. This man was evaluated in April of this year when he was promoted to major. Now, either some serious warning signs were missed or some things have really deteriorated since that time. But this was a recent promotion, and our military takes those promotions very, very seriously. What I would like to focus on, if we can take a moment, is to talk about these families that have had these people taken from them, yeah, and talk about the people that are injured as well. Let's talk about what matters.
But the JAG, who has real military experience, to his credit, says that Dr. Phil is spewing nothing but psychobabble.
With all due respect to Dr. Phil, you know, having been through the war in Iraq and having seen what these soldiers go through, you know, with respect to this incident, I need to take a giant step back from all the psychobabble I've been hearing for the last few hours. I mean, let's take a look at this, the facts of this situation. This is not some lower enlisted soldier. This is a major. He's a high-ranking field grade officer. That means that he outranks approximately 95% of the military. He has he's a medical doctor. He's an MD. That means that he occupies a position of prestige, not only within the military, but also within society at large. He is paid well for the job he does. You know, this looks a lot less like PTSD and a lot more like the Hassan Akbar case in 2003, where another soldier who has an Islamic last name throws grenades randomly into tents occupied by his fellow officers and by his fellow soldiers for no other reason but to commit acts of terror and to instill fear on a military installation and to bring attention to himself.
And later on CNN, Anderson Blooper tried to bait his guest into saying that Muslims are harassed in the military.
Dr. Kraft, you've experienced a lot of experience with the military there. There are reports from family members of the suspect that he had experienced or claimed to have experienced anti-Muslim harassment. Is that something you hear from Muslim troops, from others?
Not very much. I wouldn't say that I have a lot of experience with that.
And what did our great leader, the Commander-in-Chief Obama, have to say? Don't jump to any conclusions.
I want to begin by offering an update on the tragedy that took place yesterday at Fort Hood. This morning I met with FBI Director Mueller and the relevant agencies to discuss their ongoing investigation into what caused one individual to turn his gun on fellow servicemen and women. We don't know all the answers yet, and I would caution against jumping to conclusions until we have all the facts.
Can you believe this? That Congress is even more disconnected than ever? While America is reeling from a terrorist attack, the worst mass murder spree at a U.S. military base in history, they're voting on the Yankees.
House Resolution 893, resolution congratulating the 2009 Major League Baseball World Series champions, the New York Yankees.
Question is, would the House suspend the rules and agree to the resolution? Members are recording their votes by electronic device. This will be a 5-minute vote.
The Yankees? Are they on drugs? I'm on the front lines here of free speech. I didn't ask for it. I'm stuck with it. I don't want it. I wish it could go away already and I could wake up and it's over, but it isn't. It's getting worse, not better. But, you know, my horoscope, I know you don't believe in it, many of you, but I'm addicted to a lot of things, and that's one of the things I'm addicted to. Take it for what it is. Okay, I know it's a violation of the Bible, but so is a tattoo. I like the horoscopes. It's like childish horoscope. I mean, I know that there's the real McCoy. I've had the real McCoy read me. In fact, there was a woman on my local show when I was a local host many years ago who read me. She had a chart that was a shocker. I mean, she sent it to me in 95, 96. She said, in 03, 04, you're going to have health issues, but they're not going to be fatal, and you can adjust it through diet. I swear to God. And then in 06, they're going to have another thing. It was 100% right. I don't know if she's even living anymore.
I mean, they get so into these charts, there's got to be some truth to it, or it wouldn't have survived, and certainly Ronald Reagan wasn't wrong. And you can laugh at it all you want, but the horoscope for the other day about last night or, you know, blah, 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 was this. I swear to God, said, the news you're about to get will be disappointing, initially disappointing. But if you step back from it and look at it from a larger perspective, it's actually to your advantage. So I'm going to ask you, do you think this will awaken the people of England to the kind of government that they've inherited or permitted to metastasize into? Do you think they'll even find out about it?
Savage.
We recently talked about a story of a Washington Redskins cheerleader who had a severe reaction to the flu shot. Joining us now with an exclusive update is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks, Michael. Good to be back. This is a story we've been covering since the beginning here. A very important story, in fact, with all the threats to the immune system. And also, let's say it, the government threats toward freedom, the freedom to say no to the shot, for instance. We have a lot of controversy surrounding a Washington Redskins football cheerleader, professional football cheerleader. Her name is Desiree Jennings, 25-year-old, top of the health charts and high level of fitness. She gets a flu shot. Within 7 days to 10 days, she develops severe neurological complications. Johns Hopkins and other medical centers diagnose, confirm dystonia, a very severe neurological complication to vaccinations. And we have been covering this because, obviously, it's a human interest story, and the mainstream media did pick up on the story, but no one knew what happened to Desiree. Was this going to be the end of her life as she knew it and as anybody that knows her knew it? Or was there hope? Because out of the medical circles, they claim that the only possible solution for this is not a solution. It's just a management of symptoms with Botox.
Oh, my God. No.
Oh, my gosh. They destroy this woman's life, and all they have left is Botox for her.
Unbelievable.
But it turns out we have word now, revealing here on the Savage Nation, that the treating physician in this case of Desiree Jennings, has found a way to reverse this dystonia, these neurological complications, by utilizing detoxification techniques, IV, intravenous nutrition, re-nutrifying the body where it has been depleted. And it's really a stunning reversal because modern medicine says it can't be done. Yet here we have a physician, a treating physician. Actually, let me give you some background here, Michael. This guy's amazing. He is not only a board-certified physician, but he served in the 2nd Infantry Division in Korea. He was attached to the 101st Air Assault Division. He was also attached at a certain point in time to the 5th Special Forces, a Green Beret physician. Also the 3rd Brigade surgeon. He served at the Moncrief Army Community Hospital in Fort Jackson, where he was also chief of emergency medicine there. This guy has all the credentials in the world, and he's a bulldog in this. And we've got special audio right now for the Savage Nation listeners to hear. So let's hear first clip of Dr. Rashid Batar.
Well, she was sent to us, and with the grace of God, we were able to help her, and she's doing a lot better now. Desiree's not the first person or the second or even the third person from Johns Hopkins that's come to us that was told that there was no help for them. And have fully recovered. Desiree isn't fully recovered yet, but she's well on her way. Essentially, it came down to two principles. We had to first detoxify her, and then we started her on our neurological recovery program.
They also referenced this, and I predicted this, in fact, when I first heard this story, after reviewing, and I said, you know, if she finds a holistic physician to undo this, like I know there are, and Dr. Batar can do this and has done it many times, that they would also claim that this is some kind of psychotic or psychogenic episode. They'll do anything they can to claim that it wasn't what Johns Hopkins and others said it was. Because how shocking this would be to the medical community or the people that believe in it, that suddenly an incurable disease is curable through natural means by a physician. Let's hear from Dr. Batar.
There's been a lot of talk about what her diagnosis is. You know, there's this dystonia. She doesn't fit the classical case of dystonia, but she's definitely got dystonic changes. And there's a lot of controversy, a lot of things that people have said. And essentially, they're all pulling information out of their hats because it's pretty clear that these people don't know what they're talking about, these doctors that have been out there saying certain things. And, you know, it's a little bit disconcerting, especially when Johns Hopkins says this can't be treated And then we were able to treat it. And, you know, in 2 weeks, she's made a lot of recovery. This issue with psychogenic, too, it's interesting. You know, if anybody saw the video footage of Desiree when she first came, there was she was having a lot of bronchospasms. She was in respiratory distress. And essentially, anybody that sees this, they know that this is psychogenic. These doctors are really going out on a limb and risking their own credibility. Their statements are highly suspect why they're making these type of statements, because there's nothing psychogenic about what was going on with her.
We also have some exclusive audio of the husband of Desiree Jennings, Brendan Jennings, talking about his reaction when he first learned of this and what happened next.
We've been to multiple hospitals, and we were working to try to figure out what it was that was, you know, affecting Desiree, because she, you know, she would have new symptoms weekly that her and I couldn't explain, and you know, things were just getting worse by the day. And it was, you know, it's disheartening to see someone who's, you know, completely athletic, running all the time, eating health food. She wouldn't even take Tylenol for a headache, and she thought she was doing the right thing by going out and getting vaccinated, and unfortunately, you know, we're sitting here today, and I'm thankful to Dr. Buttar for you know, getting her back on the road to recovery. But it's been a long 2 months trying to find the correct people to identify the issue and to kind of outline a solution for recovery.
And what was interesting when we watched some of the video clips of Desiree Jennings at her worst, she came out and said something really quite amazing. She did not want anybody else to suffer this same fate, especially children. And it seemed like she was going to come out swinging if she ever got well, to make sure that everybody knew of this situation. Let's hear from her husband, Brendan, on this issue as well.
She's the strongest person I know. I mean, I was sitting there when she said it, and like those words didn't, I had no idea what those words would actually mean, not only in Desiree's case, because of what she said, she was able to find people that were willing to help her to be the voice of children. But, you know, for me, I didn't even realize how strong my own wife was until she started. She was in absolute pain, but she wanted to get the word out because, you know, she was not aware of some of the side effects that caused basically her downward spiral.
Here's some more commentary from Dr. Buttar.
We're a nation that's supposed to be free, and nobody's trying to convince anybody to do anything against their will. Unfortunately, it seems like there may be some people that are pro-vaccine that are trying to get people to do things against their will. And as you know, this forced vaccination aspect, Desiree's message, and especially my message as well, has never been one of don't get vaccines or vaccines are bad. But I think the message here is that people need to be informed. They need to be aware of what the facts are. They need to be informed, a true informed consent, where they know all the possibilities. And that's all this is about. Let people come up with their own decision based upon the facts, based upon accurate information. And then if they choose to go ahead and get a vaccine or not to get a vaccine, it's their choice. And that's what it's all about.
I want to reiterate what we just heard from Dr. Buttar, in that this isn't about whether you're for or against vaccines. It's all about the freedom to choose, the freedom to have fully informed consent. I mean, let people know all of the risks. They're adults. You got a child, you should be responsible to say, hey, with my doc, we're going to decide to do it or not do it. That's all. It seems to be we have some kind of flu shot tyranny where they want to force everybody or trick everybody into taking this. And there's a lot of debate among the medical community, doctors, nurses saying they don't want it. They're not giving it. Why should it be forced on anybody? And so a very important lesson here out of so many things that we can learn from the Desiree Jennings episode is that indeed, if the government says it's safe, it may not be. It likely isn't. In fact, in the year 2000, the Journal of the American Medical Association actually published a study that showed 106,000 Americans die every year at the hands of properly prescribed, properly administered, and properly ingested FDA-approved pharmaceutical drugs. I am not making this up. You can look at the JAMA Journal. Now, you think about this for a second. Why is somebody at FDA or anybody or the whole darn bureaucracy not up on charges? I mean, think about it. They approve it, or do they not, as safe and effective? That's their role. Protect the public. We won't approve a drug unless it's safe and effective. So what do we do now? What do we do with this? You know, it's like 106,000. That's like 33 9/11s plus. Imagine if it happened 33 times in a year. You still wouldn't have achieved the annual death rate associated or attributed to FDA-approved medicines. So we really have to look well beyond Pelosi care, certainly, and look to physicians who have the courage of their convictions to do the right thing, even if that means eschewing modern pharmaceutical drugs and vaccines. Hey, if there's a better way, why not? That's the spirit of America, innovation. And natural medicine is also in the fabric of American history. Let's bring it back out. We can be better than the best. But it's going to take freedom from government intrusion in regards to medical care. That's how we solve the healthcare crisis. And that's how Desiree Jennings is now on the road to dramatic recovery. And doctors like Dr. Batar, served in the military with honor. I salute. And we need more of that, not less.
Thanks for the report, Robert. Where can we read more?
You can check out my blog at robertscottbell.blogspot.com or just Google my name. You'll find it. Michael, thanks again.
This is The Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage. Visit TRNCentral.com, your one stop for news and all things talk radio. That's TRNCentral.com.